Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to check in with the Shoot for the Troops, speak with the Commander's Task Force, and hear from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
We refer to the days between the end of summer and the beginning of fall as 101 critical days of summer, and for good reason. The statistics show us that as the seasons change and the temperature rises, the number of injuries to our soldiers and airmen also tick upward. During these 101 days, car accidents, accidental drownings, and alcohol-related injuries are much more common than we would like. A relaxing day out on the lake, a cross-country summer road trip, each one of these scenarios offers an opportunity for injury if we are not careful. As you enjoy your well-earned downtime this summer, I ask you not to forget the importance of safety. A few simple actions on your part prevent bad things from happening. Helmets, seatbelts, and life vests don't work if you don't use them, so please use them. Please be safe and smart as you enjoy everything this warm weather has to offer.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said at the top of the show, we're going to visit with the Commander's Task Force, and Mick Aguirre is a two-time past commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota and the current chair of the Minnesota Commander's Task Force. Mick, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and interview you on your show today.
Good to have you back, Mick. That was a pretty important message from the Adjutant General, summer safety. You think Marines should listen to that and be careful out there?
Oh, yeah, they always listen to that. That's good advice.
And for our regular listeners, they know you're a Vietnam veteran and you served in the United States Marine Corps. And once a Marine, always a Marine, right, Mick?
That's correct.
Okay, we want to talk today, by the way, congratulations on completing your second term as commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota. That's a really busy organization.
Oh, I appreciate that, Tom. Thank you. Yeah, I was glad that I had the opportunity to serve as a second term, and it really was an opportunity to expand on my veterans' efforts to keep the veterans community going.
And, of course, the DAV supplies all kinds of vans to get our veterans to their medical appointments and a lot of outdoor activities to get the guys out of the house.
All right, Tom. We've got a transportation program where we've got 34 vans, and we're looking this year to buy three more, and we spread them throughout the state. We give them to the VA. They do all the maintenance and licensing. What we do is we provide volunteer drivers, and we're always looking and need more volunteer drivers to operate those vans, taking veterans to and from their medical appointments.
All over Minnesota, you're looking for drivers. Don't have to be a veteran. Just have to have a valid driver's license, safe driver, and a good heart trying to get those veterans to their medical appointments. Pretty important stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's a small screening process that you go through, but anybody can do it. And like I said, it's a good opportunity for retired people and anybody that wants to help the veterans out.
Oh, you do a great job over at the DAV of Minnesota. And Mick, we want to talk about Commander's Task Force today. And as when you were the commander of DAV Minnesota, which you just finished, that means you were automatically a member of the Commander's Task Force. And they probably railroaded you into being the chair of the task force, and you're still serving on that till later this summer.
Yes, we have a new elections in September up at Camp Ripley. We have our fall conference, and we elect a new chairman at that time. But the Commander's Task Force is made up of the eight veteran service organizations in the state of Minnesota, which are the DAV, the VFW, the American Legion, the Military Order of Purple Hearts, the Marine Corps League, the Paralyzed Veterans of America, and the Jewish War Veterans, and AMVETS. Those are all veteran service organizations recognized in the state of Minnesota.
So all of those organizations get together on a monthly basis to talk about veterans' issues, and you point at the state legislature when they go into session every year, and we have a thing called Veterans Day on the Hill, and those organizations, those eight veteran service organizations, combine their memberships, march up to the Hill, and talk to our elected officials.
Yes, and we had a real good turnout. We had between 500 and 600 veterans and veteran supporters on that day, and we had a lunch at the Armory there on Cedar Street, and then we went there and we marched up to the Capitol Rotunda and listened to the governor and our representatives give us some information on the different legislative issues that we had going on.
And I saw the video. You were right in the front leading the march.
Well, yeah, I like to be up there.
That's where we should put a Marine at the point. You did a nice job of it, Mick.
Thank you, Tom.
Now, at the state legislature, I'm reading now from an article I got from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. It says, for the second year in a row, a standalone Veterans and Military Affairs omnibus bill was passed by the Minnesota legislature with nearly unanimous support. This achievement was possible due to the advocacy of the Minnesota Commanders Task Force, support of the legislative leaders, and the commitment from the governor and Tim Walz. Mick, last year, for the first time anyone can remember, we had a separate veterans omnibus bill that separated it from all the politics of all the other stuff they do at the state legislature, and it was amazing. And that was nearly unanimously passed. So this year, one of your goals from the Commanders Task Force was, let's go see if we can do that again.
Yeah, Tom, it was. It's nothing guaranteed, as you know, in the legislature. And so we pushed hard for this, and it was in doubt right up to the last minute. There were some naysayers that said we couldn't get it done, but we did. We made the phone calls and contacted all our state representatives, and we got it pushed through. And the governor just signed the bill, I think, about a week or two ago. He had a nice ceremony where he signed that second omnibus bill, and it's not guaranteed. I think we got to fight for it every year because it separates the veterans' issues from all the other legislative agenda that goes on during a session.
We're speaking with Mick Aguirre, the chair of the Commander's Task Force on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Mick, I got to ask you, does 2 years in a row with the Veterans Omnibus Bill, does that make a tradition, or is that something we got to go fight for?
You just mentioned, Tom, that we're going to have to fight for it every year or every time the session comes up. I don't think there's nothing guaranteed, and you know it in the legislature.
Well, and Mick, you've got a tool on DAVMN.org website called Minfluence. Can you explain that?
Yeah, Tom. What you do is download the app, and then once you're on that app, you will get notified if there's some kind of issue that's specific to your representative in the state legislature as far as representative or senator. And then you are asked to call the representative and give them your input on certain bills coming up in front of them, or if he's in a certain committee, you want a veteran's priorities and let him know how we feel about the certain legislation that's going on.
So that makes it really easy for anyone in Minnesota to just go to DAVMN.org, look for Minfluence, put in your zip code, and up comes your elected officials and how to contact them, the phone numbers, emails, all that information. And I understand that there were hundreds, if not thousands, of veterans in Minnesota that wrote to their elected officials at the legislature last year saying, let's make this a precedent, let's have this Veterans Omnibus Bill passed again.
That's correct, Tom, and that's the way, one way of doing it. And we'll just make it easier for people to contact their representatives, you know, so we let them know our voice and our concerns and questions about anything that's coming up in front of them.
And, Mick, you've got a champion of veterans legislation over at DAV in Minnesota, Trent Dilks, and he gave a spirited speech. I saw part of it on film.
Yes, old Trent, he's been there for 9 years now, and he's our legislative director for the Disabled American Veterans, and he's our point man, and he's done a fabulous job.
And he was over there leading the event and the program over at the state capitol in the rotunda. It looked like you had that place packed. That's a couple of years in a row now, isn't
it?
Well,
that's, like I said, it was one of, if not the largest turnout we ever had for the Veterans Day on the Hill.
Now, Mick, we only got about a minute left in this segment. We're going to come back and talk about some of the things that were in that bill. But every spring, we have a day called Veterans Day on the Hill. DAV is instrumental in making sure there's buses and there's transportation available. Bring in every veteran from Minnesota that can get the day off and go over there and talk and show their support for veterans legislation. Pretty important day.
Yeah, and the DAV, we sponsored the luncheon there at the hall there, and we get lined up the guest speakers. And then we asked people if they want to take a bus that the Department of Minnesota Department of Disabled Veterans will pay for half the bus, the cost of the bus. So there's no reason why you can't come down and join us in that effort.
So you had veterans in from all over the state.
Yes, correct. We have some from Crookston and Duluth, and down south is Austin and Albert Lea. All over the state came and helped us that day.
Mick, before next year, I think you got to do a little training. That march from the from the armory up to the Capitol didn't look like anything we did in basic training.
No, we'll have to get, we'll work on that.
Guys are a little older now, aren't they?
Yeah.
But you were leading the charge, so it was great. Mick, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things that were included in that veterans legislation omnibus bill for the state capitol this year. We're speaking to Mick Aguirre. He was the chair of the Commander's Task Force on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Mick Aguirre, who's the chairman of the Commander's Task Force and two-time past commander of the Disabled American Veterans. And Mick, we had quite a year up at the state legislature again, and I've got some detail on some of the things were passed in for the second year in the most recent Veterans Omnibus Bill. But before we get to that, some of the information I got from the MDVA, there's about 300,000 veterans in Minnesota. And I thought it was interesting, the largest group of veterans by age, 65 to 74, there's 79,000 of those, kind of in our age bracket. And the largest single group is the Vietnam veterans at over 97,000. So, of course, World War I is gone, World War II is going quick, the Korean War is older than us. We're the senior citizens now, Mick.
Yeah, it don't seem like it was that long ago that we were there.
50 years, where'd that go?
Yeah, pretty quick.
And one of the things that was in the Veterans Omnibus Bill was some funding for a 50-year anniversary for Vietnam veterans, which I understand is going to come up next June.
Yes, I'm working on that committee right now, and they allocated $250,000 for that program that we're going to put on next year.
Well, it'd be interesting to see when and where and how, and you'll have to keep me up to date on that. I'd like to help with that if I can.
I will do, Tom.
So, Mick, one of the things that was in this bill that you've kind of been working on for years was a 2-year exclusion for surviving spouses on the real estate homestead market exclusion, they call it. We've been kind of looking and proving that every year, haven't we?
Yes, and they were, the bill before that was says they couldn't apply for that till after 2 years of the passing of the spouse, the eligible spouse. So we eliminated that and said, no, you're able to apply right away. So you get that real estate break on your income, on your real estate taxes on your house. And that makes a difference where some of the widows or widowers could stay in their house then.
They'll stay in the house and they don't get a raise when the veteran dies. I mean, they've still got to pay their taxes, still do things, so it was good to get that one done.
It was good. It was good. We worked a long and hard time on that one.
And Mick, last year in the first Veteran Omnibus Bill, we got past the service bonus for current veterans, and I think we used up the money.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure. I'd have to check with the MDVA and their statistics, because they're the only ones that keep track on that. But would put the call out for anybody that was still eligible to still apply for that, because you still can. Even the money is there for you if you apply.
And we got some additional funding this year to make sure that everybody that's eligible gets those funds. And that's a great deal. Yeah. Mick, there's a provision in here that says GI Bill expansion. The second annual amount was increased from $3,000 per veteran to $5,000 per veteran. And the lifetime cap was increased from $10,000 to $15,000. It's the Minnesota portion of the GI Bill to help the veterans go back to school.
Oh, yeah, that's always a big thing, Tom. We're always looking to improve the veterans' way of life, and going back to school is a big part of that. If they can do that, we're always trying to help them out.
And, Mick, there's a couple of things that the Commander's Task Force has been working on with the governor and with the Minneapolis VA, with anybody that listens, and one of them is homelessness, veterans' homelessness. We've been working on that hard for years.
Yes, in fact, we got our third quarter meeting with the CTF. We're going to move it to Mankato, and the whole program is addressing veterans' homelessness. And they have a model housing project down there that we're going to tour after our meeting down in Mankato on July 11th.
And, of course, we're trying to get to what they call functional zero, and I understand we're there, except for Hennepin County and Ramsey County, our two most highly populated counties. We got a little bit more work to do there.
Yes, well, it's always tough, Tom. I mean, a homeless veteran has different issues, and it's hard to address them all at one time and get them right and pointed in the right direction.
And the MDVA received a little over $1 million over the next 2 years. And in Minnesota, we have what's called MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. They've been doing a fabulous job the last 5, 6, 7 years, growing like crazy, doing things, and they got almost $8 million so they could add some housing for our veterans. They're doing a bang-up job, aren't they?
Oh, they're always the lead program in the state of Minnesota for getting homeless veterans back on their feet and a place to stay.
We're speaking with Mick Aguirre, who is the chairman of the Commander's Task Force on Minnesota Military Radio. Mick, every year, I think people overlook this, but the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs both have to go in and get their budgets approved and make sure that they keep taking care of programs and services and the veterans' homes and the cemeteries at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Minnesota MDVA, and, of course, the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs is the organization that sits above the Minnesota National Guard. And so we've got armories all over Minnesota and Guard soldiers and airmen, and so those two basic budgets were passed, and they were passed going downhill with the wind at their back and giving a little extra money this year.
That's it. I talked to Ben Johnson, the legislative director of the MDVA, and they said they received $90 million for their programs.
So they can, and they need it. They're opening up three new homes this year and a new veteran cemetery, and I understand they even got some money so that they could put some gear in those veterans' homes, not just to build them, but they needed some people and gear and supplies, and the state came through with that. It was a good year to finish that.
It was a good year to do that. You're correct, Tom.
So by the end of the year, we'll have three new veterans' homes and one new veterans' cemetery down in Redwood Falls. MDVA's doing a great job trying to take care of all us veterans out here.
Oh, they always do. It's a fine organization.
Speaking of that, the Hastings Veterans Home has been in the news. And it's a different home. It's not like a hospital. That's where the veterans can go down there and stay, but they can also go out and work. Domiciliary. There's a word.
You're correct.
We'll leave a couple of veterans, Vietnam veterans, to say that domiciliary. But they got some money, and they got some money in the bonding bill, so that they can tear that down, rebuild it. It's going to be great.
It was over 100 years old, Tom, and it just needed, it had to be restored, and they finally got the funding to do that, and it's going to be great when they get done.
That was one of those hospitals you and I escaped from, wasn't it?
I think it was on the list.
Was, Rick. We shouldn't say that. People will believe us, Rick. But that's a special home down there, and it's a special place for veterans that just need a little bit of help and a little bit of care, and it's important to have a door. So you have a little privacy, and then get out and get to work and do the best you can. Yeah. Find as normal a life as possible.
Right. That's correct, Tom.
So, Mick, I understand we also got Metro Meals on Wheels, got grants totaling just over $1 million for 2 years to provide home-delivered meals for veterans. Of course, we're trying to keep the veterans in their homes as long as possible, but they need some help.
Yeah, well, getting a nice hot meal every day is something fantastic for the veterans that are homebound, and it enable the Meals on Wheels to do that. That's just fantastic.
Well, that's a great deal. Are you getting some of those meals?
No, not yet.
Not yet? All right. Put us on the waiting list. A few years, we might need some of that. And there's another organization every third Saturday that got a little bit of funding.
Yeah, that's run by our buddy Tom. And over there, right by the Veterans Medical Center, they opened up a brand-new building, and they provide services for the homeless veterans, and any veteran that needs help can go over there and get assistance.
Started out as kind of a coffee shop thing, and it's expanded, and he's doing a great job, isn't he?
Oh, he's doing a great job.
And, Mick, there's a couple of veterans camps, Camp Bliss up in Walker, Minnesota, and Veterans on the Lake, and the Veterans Campground on Big Marine Lake, all got some help to maintain the facilities, and that's another great cause, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Those three different locations are always doing a wonderful job for the veterans. And if anybody can take advantage of it, I'm just sure they can go online and get the more information.
Mick, just a few seconds left, but the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum is almost ready to get in the ground, and they got some finishing money they needed to get going.
Oh, I've looked at the preliminary plans for it, and it's just going to be fantastic. It's going to be beyond the world, and everybody will have a nice chance to go up there and bring the family and learn about the history of the veterans organization or military history in the state of Minnesota.
Mick, seems like we always run out of time, and we got more to talk about, but I appreciate you coming down and participating in the show, and thank you once again.
Well, it's my pleasure, Tom. I always appreciate the invitation to come down and talk to you about veterans' issues and renew our old friendship, and hope we can do better golf the next time we play.
Thanks, Commander. I need all the help I can get. That was Mick Aguirre, chairman of the Commander's Task Force. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet with the president of Shoot for the Troops. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Are you or do you know a veteran at risk or experiencing homelessness? Are you a veteran having difficulty functioning in your daily life due to your health, a disability, or problems with substance abuse? Are these difficulties limiting your ability to work so much that it's impacting your life and your family? If so, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs can help you through a program called SOAR. SOAR is changing the lives of at-risk veterans and helping them to access sustainable income and stable housing by applying for federal funds available through the Social Security Administration. Social Security disability benefits can help cover housing costs, assist with needed health care, as well as helping make ends meet for veterans and their families. A SOAR representative will handle everything from preparing the paperwork to assisting with the appeals, representing the veteran through the entire process, and all at no cost. For more information about the SOAR program or to refer someone, call 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Shoot for the Troops is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and their mission is to support military service members, veterans, and their families deployed or stateside who are in need of resources due to economic or special hardships. Shoot for the Troops hosts a sporting clays event annually, a couple of them, to raise funds for military families in Minnesota. Joining us now to talk about Shoot for the Troops is their president, Ed Suarez. Ed, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Great. Thanks for having me back, Tom.
Sir, for our listeners that might not have met you the last time or two that you've been on, can you tell us a little bit about your military career?
I've been in for 34 years. I actually started off active duty Fort Benning. I actually was at Fort Moore, now they call it, as an infantryman, and then finished my 4+ years there, and then decided to go to Minnesota to become an officer. So went ROTC at the U of M, became a commissioned officer in the Minnesota Guard, and I've been involved in working both part-time and full-time now for a total of 34 years.
And you're still serving in the Minnesota Army National Guard.
I sure am. No, it's been a real pleasure to be part of a great organization over these years.
Well, Colonel, we're going to refer to you as a civilian for the rest of this interview because you are here today as president of Shoot for the Troops in your civilian capacity.
Yes, sir, I am. No, I finished 2 years as president last year, and they asked me to stay on for 2 more years. So I'm really enjoying the role that I play now, and now that I'm making an impact doing it. So it's been a real honor and pleasure.
Can you tell us, sir, how did you find and get to involved in Shoot for the Troops?
Almost by accident. Was up at Leech Lake, 12, 14 years ago now. Met a gentleman there who was starting up this effort, and we happened to be neighbors and trailer neighbors, actually, in the same resort. And we just kind of hit it off. So I started off as a volunteer mostly, Tom, just helping out for the event, just kind of bringing my experience and my volunteerism to the effort. And over the years, I wanted to get more and more involved with it. And so a couple years ago, they asked me to become president. And so I've been really, really involved ever since then. And I'm telling you, it's been a wonderful experience.
So they caught you for 2 years, and now they caught you again for another two.
They hooked me big time. And but they didn't have to hook me at all. It really is a pleasure to do this.
Well, we've been loosely involved with your organization for quite a while, and they do a fabulous job, and there's a lot of good organizations in Minnesota, but this one gives some of our troops and our veterans an opportunity to shoot, which is something they love to do, and help raise funds. So can you tell us a little bit about the mission of Shoot for the Troops?
Yeah, the mission is pretty cut and dry. I mean, for the most part, we're trying to focus in on soldiers, service members, their families, veterans, whether they're currently serving or not, deployed or stateside, to really make sure that when there is a need for them, that we can provide funds to a variety of 501c3 nonprofits that can help deliver those services. And don't get me wrong, I think Minnesota does a really good job taking care of our veteran community. But there are gaps across the state, and our organization focuses on nonprofit groups to help fill those gaps. And it's been great to see over the years how we've made a difference. In the last 4 or 5 years, we've raised nearly $300,000. So we know we're making an impact.
Sir, it's been kind of fun to interview different organizations over the past 13 years on this show and see the cooperation between all of the various groups that are out there raising funds and supporting the families of the military, supporting people that fall through the cracks. And it must be rewarding for you to be part of Shoot for the Troops and then have the ability to help impact some of these other groups.
It's not only rewarding, but it's it's reassuring to know that these veteran groups are working together. Case in point, last fall we had someone reach out from a local DV chapter asking to see if we could raise some money to help a veteran in need whose child was disabled and needed a new vehicle to transport the child. So we got on board and partnered with some other folks in the local CVSO and raised over $30,000 and got that family a brand new vehicle. So it's things like that where you make an immediate impact in someone's life.
And in that particular case, you give that family back their life because they're able to get around and do the things that they normally could do without that vehicle.
And it's also a way to thank that veteran for their service and their sacrifice.
Very good, sir. We're speaking with Ed Suarez, president of Shoot for the Troops on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, you look and sound very enthusiastic about being president of Shoot for the Troops. How do you get that excited about what you're doing?
Well, the previous example about helping the veteran in need is one way of doing it. But more importantly, I've referenced back my experience as a commander back in 2005, 2007, a long deployment that we went on, and seeing the needs my soldiers had when it came back. And since then, Minnesota has evolved quite well in terms of expanding its veterans' reach and support. And as a former battalion commander, understanding the needs still haven't changed, despite the amount of deployments we were going on or not going on. The reality is our veterans still need our help. And so being part of that cause means a lot to me deeply, both personally and professionally.
And, sir, I've personally been able to see how Shoot for the Troops has been working with another organization, Minnesota Military Family Foundation, going back quite a few years and helping us to raise funds so that we can take care of Minnesota military families, particularly when they have a loved one deployed overseas and something breaks down at home. And the whole mission there is let's make sure that if there's a problem at home, we take care of it, we get it fixed, it's paid for, sometimes before the troops even know it happened, so they can focus on the mission, get home safe. As a commander, that's got to be really important.
Sure it is. And I think in today's age, we're looking at how we're retaining the soldiers that currently serve. It's really important to understand that we're here for them, take care of them and their families. And so being part of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, we know we're making a difference in that capacity. And I think last year they doled out almost $800,000 of support. So we know that the need's real in the community, and we're happy to be part of that process.
It's not only real, but it doesn't seem to be going away, sir. And with inflation following COVID and all the things that have happened, seems like if people get in a financial bind, it's bigger and deeper bind than it used to be. So we got to keep going. This need is there. It's not going away, is it?
It's not. And that's what we tell our supporters every year, that's why they keep coming back to help us out. The need's there. It's real. And we're asking for their support, and they're there every year to give it.
Now, Ed, you talked about there was occasionally you see a gap in the financial support from other organizations. That gives you an opportunity to step in and maybe partner with some other organizations and have a direct impact.
It's true. In fact, in a lot of cases, we look at other opportunities outside of financial need. For instance, we helped out with St. Cloud Stand Down. They provide services, clothing, those type of immediate needs for service members. We're working with Recovery Community Network. They work on substance abuse recovery. And a new partner this year is Veteran Resilience Program, and they provide light therapy for those folks with PTSD. So we're expanding the support we can provide our service members and families across the state, and really happy to be doing that every year.
And, sir, it seems like in your position with the Joint Force Headquarters at the Guard, you can see where some of these gaps might be and try to pull some of those organizations together and have Shoot for the Troops jump in.
Absolutely. In fact, you can see it across different levels across the organization, no matter where you're at. And as I said before, the need is still real, despite our deployments, even the training demands on units and soldiers and airmen. We know that families are in need, and it's great to know that Minnesota has a number of programs to help them out.
Sir, we got about a minute left. We're going to talk about a couple of events you've got coming up when we come back. But can you tell us what sets Shoot for the Troops apart from other nonprofits that support veterans?
Well, I don't think there's too many events out there focused around the shooting sports. First of all, that makes us different. Nothing wrong against golfing, and I'm not very good at it, but you can find a golfing event pretty much everywhere you want in the state. But shooting events are far and few between, and that's one thing that makes us unique. The biggest thing is you provide an opportunity in a venue where people want to have fun and make a difference while they're there.
Very good, sir. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about two shooting events that are coming up for Shoot for the Troops and let everybody know how they can get involved. We're speaking with Ed Suarez, president of Shoot for the Troops on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Ed Suarez, who is president of Shoot for the Troops. And Ed, We got the big picture stuff, Shoot for the Troops, 501c3 nonprofit. You have an opportunity to have some fun events and raise some funds to fill some gaps and help the military, help veterans, help people all over Minnesota. And we just got a few minutes here. Can we talk about a couple events? Which one's coming up first?
Well, we've got two events this year, as you said. The first one's coming up is at Wild Wings of Oneka. That's going to be August 15th. It's a Tuesday. Registration starts at 12:30. The event goes to about 5:30, 6 o'clock, includes the dinner. A lot of activities besides the Sporting Clays event. We've got a number of fundraising opportunities. We've got some banners with some, you know, firearms and different things you're looking for, some fun games to raise money. And then we have a second event later on this year. That's going to be September the 12th. That's going to be at LeBlanc's Rice Creek outside of Little Falls. Again, that'll also be a Tuesday afternoon, 12:30 to 5:30. And if you want to register, registration is currently live on our website, which is shootforthetroopsmn.com. Click on a link for each one of the event banners, and you can register that way. We're looking for sponsors. We're looking for shooters to come put together their teams or even volunteers to help out. And so if it's one of those things you want to do, you can reach out to the website and contact us there.
And you'd probably accept some donations, maybe some silent auction items, those kind of things?
Absolutely. You know, and again, Federal Ammunition is one of our big partners. So the ammunition is provided, dinner is provided. We even have a couple of bird hunts available to raffle off as well.
So our good friend Danny Angel is our liaison with, with Federal Ammo, and they supply the ammo for your events so that you don't have to pay for that. Helps you raise more money. First event's going to be out at Hugo, and are these four-man teams or four-person teams?
They're four-person teams.
And what does it cost to enter a team?
About the same cost it does for a golf function. It's $600 a team, $150 per person. And then if you want to be a station sponsor, that's $500. And there's different levels of sponsorship from there, from above that. It's all listed on the website.
And somewhere in there, a wild game dinner, I'm thinking?
A wild game dinner at both locations, and again, a wild bird hunt available to raffle off as well. So looking forward to folks come out. We had a banner year last year, and looking forward to great participation this year.
Now, Ed, I know from previous Shoot for the Troops events, you get a lot of former Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen, and you get a lot of veterans in there, and it's an excuse to go use your shooting skills and come out and help raise some money to help our Minnesota military veterans and families.
No, it's great to see the veterans turn out, especially currently serving folks. But really, it's our sponsors that make it possible. I know the event at Wild Wings will have a number of spots available for veterans to shoot, maybe available by our sponsors. So it's great to have folks who love the military, maybe not part of it, but also currently participating as well.
And I'm sure a good friend, Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network, has his finger in there somewhere.
Yeah, he absolutely does. And we couldn't do it without Chuck's help out there in Wild Wings. So he's been a great partner.
Okay, so that first one, again, is going to be out in Hugo at Wild Wings of Oneka, and the date again, sir?
That's going to be August 15th. It's a Tuesday afternoon.
And the second one is going to be up by just north of St. Cloud, I think.
Just outside of Little Falls, and that's going to be at LeBlanc's Rice Creek Hunting Preserve.
Okay, and for our listeners, if you want to sign up for those, go to shootforthetroopsmn.com. Once again, you're still looking for some volunteers?
Looking for volunteers up at Rice Creek. I think I got the Wild Wings event pretty well covered, but I won't ever turn away help. If someone's interested, they can get a hold of us.
And how many teams do you have in each of those events?
You know, we had about 125 teams up in Rice Creek and about 105 teams last year at Wild Wings. So we pretty much filled the roster. So right now is a great time to get your team registered so you have time to shoot.
And you've got openings available? There's still time to sign up.
We have openings available right now.
Once again, shootforthetroopsmn.com. Sign up for those events. It's a great time, and I've been out to Wild Wings. That's a beautiful facility and a nice clubhouse, and that wild game dinner. Boy, that is really fun.
You can't beat it.
All right, sir, we just got about a minute left. Once again, can you just tell our listeners the mission? Why are you doing these events to raise money?
Well, bottom line, Tom, is that we know that not every organization or every state agency can help our veteran community. We're here to fill the gaps. And so participating in our events, we can raise money to help folks like the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, veteran homelessness, substance abuse, all those different components of a veteran's that could be an issue for them or their family. We're there to help fill those gaps. And it's a partnership, really, working with these different organizations to make that possible. So if folks out there in the audience are willing to participate and make a difference, please come out. Love to see you at one of our events and either August 15th or September 12th.
Sir, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Really appreciate it.
For our listeners, please remember, go to shootforthetroopsmn.com. Bring your team, get out to one or both of these events, and help Ed raise some money so that we can continue the mission. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is Director Pat Kelly. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, Tom, thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure to join you.
Director, I got a little surprise for you. We've got another guest in the studio today. His name's Mick Aguirre. He's a Marine, and he's twice past commander of the DAV, and he's still the chair of the Commander's Task Force. He wanted to say hello to you today.
How are you doing this afternoon, Director Kelly? I always a pleasure to hear your voice, and I look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Well, Mick, thank you. And you're, there's no stronger veterans advocate than you, so I look forward to continuing to work with you. It's always a pleasure to see you around the hospital, and thanks for your continued advocacy for veterans.
Well, you're welcome.
So, Director, the topic that you and I are going to talk about today is of primary concern to Mick and I because we're both Vietnam veterans. But the topic extends to more than that. It's about toxic exposure, and it's related to the fact that the Congress passed the PACT Act a while back, and we're coming up on some deadlines. Can you tell us why it's important for veterans and their survivors to know about the PACT Act?
Yeah, so it's been it's been almost a year since the PACT Act passed. It was August 10th of 2022 when the president signed that. And so in the law, there were some deadlines established. So one of the important deadlines is that, if veterans apply for their PACT Act related benefits by August 9th, they're going to get their claim backdated to the date of the original bill signing, which was August 10th of 2022. So the main point, really, Tom, is that veterans should get in there and get evaluated before that timeline if they can. You know, if they can't, they're still going to rate the benefit, and they can still always get that toxic exposure screen. But the key with getting in before the August 9th is that they get that claim backdated to August 10th, so almost a year ago. And that, and in many cases, that means money. That means benefits that they could potentially be missing out on. So sooner the better.
So, Director, I understand that's tied to a letter of intent or an intent letter that you intend to file the claim before August 9th to get it backdated?
Yeah, so I think even if a veteran doesn't get a chance to sort of file a full claim and get it all adjudicated before that timeline, that letter of intent is good enough to sort of intent to file, rather, is good enough to sort of establish the date. And that will be suitable then to get the backdating if they do that before August 9th. So yeah, it doesn't have to be all done, doesn't have to be all complete, but get that intent to file at least completed by then.
And, Director, we're going to have a guest on from the Veterans Benefit Administration next week and dive deep into the PACT Act. But I understand that the VA is launching a National PACT Act Summer Vet Fest. Is that going to happen out at the Minneapolis VA?
Yeah, so the secretary has asked all sites to do what he's referring to as a summer vet fest, and the idea is that it's a little more festive maybe than just coming directly into the medical center and listening to people talk. And so our summer vet fest is going to be the 19th of July. So that's 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. The 19th is a Okay, my calendar here is a Wednesday. So what we're going to do, Tom, is we're hosting a event, initially outside of our medical center here in the Circle by Veterans Drive. And, we're going to be having food and some events. And then veterans who come can use that opportunity to get their toxic exposure screen if it's still needed. But it's largely intended for veterans, their families, advocates, caregivers who can come. And if you don't know about the PACT Act, you want to learn about it, you want to talk to some of your peers, your colleagues, you want to get that toxic exposure screen, that is what the Vet Fest is intended to do. So, we'll have the VBA, the regional office staff will be over here. We're even going to have some staff from the National Cemeteries who, aren't directly related to the PACT Act. But if veterans have questions about any of their benefits, even state benefits, that's going to be an opportunity for them to come into the medical center. And again, that's Wednesday, the 19th of July from 3 to 6 p.m.
So, Director, when you refer to toxic exposure screenings, we go back as far as Vietnam and Agent Orange up to Kuwait and burning oil wells and burn pits. more recently than that. So if any of our veterans were exposed to any of those kind of things, this is an opportunity to get some help.
Yeah, so really, it's a pretty simple screening, Tom. And so, you know, a couple core questions. One, did you serve during these periods of time? You know, Persian Gulf, Vietnam, you know, sort of most modern era engagements. And then secondly, you know, there's the question about, are you experiencing any medical impacts? And there's a long list of impacts. And so even for Vietnam-era veterans like yourself, you know, it's presumed that if you're suffering from hypertension, for example, that's related to your service in Vietnam, and then you get service connected for that. And so it is a fairly generous benefit, well-deserved, but generous benefit. And a lot of veterans can, even if they're never had care with the VA, they can establish care, or they can increase their benefit. You know, if they are currently getting health care, you know, get it in here, get it documented, get it in your record, and maybe increase your service-connected disability rating, which can impact your pension and other things. And so it's a good thing to do.
So for our listeners, let's go out to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on July 19th for the Vet Fest, or go see your county veteran service officer and ask him about the PACT Act and how you can file a claim. Director, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom. Nice having me.
That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Ed Suarez from Shoot for the Troops, Mick Aguirre from the Commander's Task Force, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about the PACT Act and education benefits for our veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.